Hi!
Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned.
So funny. Hello.
How are you?
I'm so great.
Yesterday was your birthday. Happy birthday.
It was my birthday. And they all pulled off an amazing surprise party for me. And I'll tell you guys all about that because it was so much fun.
Yes.
But before I do that, I want to introduce our guest, Jessica Dawson.
Hi, guys. Yes.
Hi. It's so great that you're here.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive in and tell everybody what you do because I think it's so fun and so relevant for today.
Especially relevant.
Yeah.
I met Jessica at the Frisco Digital Summit, which was an event that was thrown by your company.
Yes.
Or the company that you work for, sorry.
Yep, Digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I met her and we started talking and I was like, will you come on my podcast? And she was like, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, always happy to join.
And I think, did you speak at the event or were
you were on the panel?
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. And what was like your role on the panel?
Well, hold on. I want to talk about my party and then dive into all that.
Yes.
I don't want to go back and forth.
Party first, for sure.
I know, right? So, and the only reason I want to tell about this is because it's really hard to surprise me.
Okay.
Really hard. And
I was surprised that you were surprised.
I had no idea. And do you know, did you hear the story on how I found out?
Well, yes. And also like you and I talked on Wednesday and you were like, oh, Brad is taking me. And of course I obviously knew about the surprise party, but she's like, Brad is taking me to the Renaissance for my birthday. We're going to dinner and then we're going to the hotel. And I was like, he told you that? She's like, yes, because I have to plan. And I was like, ha ha ha. Little did you know.
I know. So the plan was, the fake plan was for us to go to the Renaissance, go to the bar, have drinks.
And Legacy West, not the Renaissance downtown.
Legacy West. Yeah. And then bar hop a little bit all the way to Haywire, which is where we had dinner reservations at 7:15.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Sounds fun. But I didn't know there were people there waiting for us. And so what's so funny, all of this was perfectly planned and a total surprise. But my husband is blind as a bat.
Okay.
And so we're walking to Haywire and he's holding his phone up for all to see.
Okay.
And I see like big fat letters, ETA ? And I'm like, well, that's weird.
Uh-huh.
Now, the good news is we're on our way there. So it's not like I knew all day or all week. I mean, it was just like.
You were literally walking in.
Literally walking in. Yeah. And I see ETA. And at that point, I'm like, well, that's
somebody's here.
Weird. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, he said, well, the restaurant's wondering where we are. And I thought, well, we have a reservation and maybe that makes sense.
Maybe that's it's actually a good like, cover up.
Yeah. So at that point, I was like, not going to say anything. I didn't want to embarrass myself and say, oh, you planned a surprise party. And then walk in. He's like, you know, I didn't. So then we get there and we're talking to the hostess. And Brad says, you know, we're here for the party for Shapiro, reservation for two. She looks at us and she's like, I don't have a reservation for Shapiro. Totally effed it up. Like, totally.
Aww.
And so we're like, Brad's like, oh, he did not know what to do. And he's like, no. Reservations for two. Shapiro? And she's like, I don't see a reservation for Shapiro. Are you sure it's what's your first name?
Oh my gosh.
So we're downstairs dealing with this. Meanwhile, Brad is of course texting everybody like, we can't get past the hostess.
Yeah.
And then I see candles are lit and I'm like, that's when I knew.
Aww.
Downstairs. Still exciting because they're like April, I never expected to see your face. I never expected to see Georgia. I never expected to see my friend, the Blaziacs. There was a good probably 10 people that I would never have thought would have been there. I thought it would be like my daughters and, you know, Jessica and my mom and dad.
Yeah.
So, it was a big surprise and so much fun.
That's so great.
Yes. Thank you for doing that.
It was so great.
Yeah. And I was glad John came.
Yeah, me too.
That was fun.
John was a previous guest on our podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just the last one.
Yeah.
So, he's so funny. I love him.
So funny, man.
So now back to you.
Oh. Yes. She's like, little old me. I don't know.
Little old me.
I think it was, about your birthday.
Yeah, I think it was awesome and was very well executed. Good job, Bradley Shapiro.
It's such a good excuse to get all your friends together and just really like celebrate.
Seriously.
You know?
And like just take a moment and enjoy each other.
Yeah. And this might be TMI, but my husband is very, very, very cheap.
Okay.
Very cheap. And like when I get
birthday, good and bad.
When I get birthday, well, I know I'm not going to eat cat food when I retire, mm-hmm. but when I get birthday presents, it's like, hey, I need a new bedspread. You want to go buy me a bedspread for my birthday?
Right.
Kind of thing. Yes. Like that's that kind of a birthday present. He paid for everything.
That's great.
Yeah. So that was really a nice surprise. And it made me feel so much more comfortable about the evening too, because hey, we're just a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys invited all these people and what if they can't afford it? And I don't even know what to do. That's how I think. That's how my brain works.
That's so nice that you just
didn't
have to stress about it, right? Like that's the worst when you're planning it yourself and then someone takes the reins from you and you're like, oh, this is so great. And then you just enjoy it.
And he was totally at peace about it. Normally he does things like that and then he's like, oh my God, I can't, I'm going to worry about this for the rest of my life. Because you know, that night was going to cause us to never retire ever. And he did it. He was like super excited about it and he was happy. Like he was pleased.
Good.
Yeah.
It was such a good,
Yeah, thank you.
It was such a good night.
It was. Thank you. You helped make it a good night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Okay. Back to you again.
Oh. Yes. One more time. We'll get back there. One more time.
Good. Okay. We'll get there eventually. We got time. All right.
So, okay. So going back. So I met you at the event and oh my God. This is the event where I was sending you pictures where the person was talking from Spotify, the podcast stuff. Yes.
Okay.
So like the whole event was like just the whole time I'm just like sitting there like, like my mind is just blowing the whole time because I'm like, oh my gosh, all these statistics about podcasting and like
it was perfect for you. I mean, the speakers we had, like the content was just excellent.
Gosh,
you know, I mean,
it was amazing.
That were talking were fantastic, but especially from like being on a podcast, like having Spotify there to talk about trends and things that are going on in the industry.
Yes.
It's, you know, for you guys was
and
super
money
efficient
how to monetize.
Yes,
yeah,
and how they like because we were able to, you know, because the speakers, you know, at the end they would like ask, you know, does anybody have any questions or whatever? And I was able to ask someone who's a professional from Spotify about sponsorship and how they go about sponsoring podcasts or generating advertisement dollars towards the most downloaded podcasts and stuff like that. And that was like, next level.
Yeah.
I want to go to the podcast. It's like a convention every year. I think it was in Orlando last year.
Uh-huh.
Julian spoke at it, I believe.
You want to go next year?
I want to go.
Let's
for
go.
Sure. And I think it's like Louisiana, like New Orleans or something.
Really?
This year. I don't know. I could be totally making that up. But whatever. I want to go.
Well, you know New Orleans,
too. Anything
you can
do to break through. There's just so many people doing podcasts now. You have to be able to stand out and like do strategic things to make you guys, your voice heard over the rest of them.
Yeah,
so
without question.
Anything you can do to do that.
So how'd you get into doing what you do?
Yeah.
Well, so, so I grew up in Texas. I mean, originally from Connecticut, but I moved here when I was 11. So I'm more Texan than anything
else,
y'all,
at this point.
And I ended up at TCU, just over in Fort Worth. And while I was there, I did marketing and entrepreneurial management. And I was in the business fraternity. And I was the president. And the president before me had an internship at this digital advertising agency in the stockyards.
Okay.
Like literally in the stockyards where if you tried to leave the parking lot at 11:30 or 4, there were longhorns walking down with cowboys, like herding them down
buddy.
The drive and like couldn't get out, right? So I ended up getting an internship through him there and it was in paid search, which is when you're searching for something on Google and Bing and, you know, the first couple of results, those are paid advertisements. And so I was doing that for brands like Finish Line and Reebok, Red Bull, Estee Lauder, Origins, as an intern. And then I was there for about 2 years doing that while I was in school. And then when I graduated, I just kept going. I was there for about 4 years.
Did you major in marketing?
I did. Okay. Yeah. Marketing and entrepreneurial management. So, I've always loved marketing.
Yeah.
Like instead of having boy band posters on my walls when I was little, like in sixth grade, I had this whole wall of advertising from like girl magazines, you know, like back in the day, like my favorite ones, I just tear them out and put them up there. And it was kind of weird.
You're like, I love this advertisement.
Yes. Like, why does this speak to me? You know, like just the psychology behind it and trying to get products out there and like really speak to your core audience. I always thought that was pretty fascinating. Plus I was like business you're going to make some good money, you know, as well. So, like, not only was
dude in sixth grade,
about, but well, you know, like over the years.
But that's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm always so envious of people like that because I feel like you have this vision from such a young age, and you're like you were able to just focus on that and just continue with the growth pattern. Like that is so cool.
Oh, I had some ADD. I had some career ADD. Totally. Like one time, I wanted to be an orthodontist, but then I saw some weird photos like on a wall at a dentist's office. I was like,
and you're like, those teeth are too crooked. I'm not doing it.
So there was some like let's think about it. But I mean, business just happened to be my forte, and like I've always liked to do it. And so, you know, when I was thinking about where do I go in advertising, I always love like commercials or, you know, looking at actual advertisements, like the creative and everything. But when I got the job at my first agency, it was digital and everything was going digital. I mean, this was like 10 years ago. Don't tell anyone, right? Yeah. Although we are on a podcast. But and so digital was growing and it's just the internet was becoming this huge thing. And I'm like, this is where it's going to be. This is where it's going to go. And the longevity of my career will be much further.
If I invested the time in,
versus TV and print. Yeah, and obviously with connected TV these days, that was, you know, it's all changing. Yeah. And so, getting in with that, definitely got to do some really cool things. That agency was really fun. And, had an amazing boss who was great at like propelling me through my career. And eventually it got acquired. And so, we moved buildings and the culture just really shifted. And probably within like 2 or 3 months, the majority of people I worked with left, and including my boss. And, I had also kind of reached this cap there where I was kind of stuck in search. I wasn't really getting able to expand and it was big. So I really couldn't make a lot of moves. But this one guy who worked there with me previously, he started his own agency and he was like, "Hey Jess, whenever you're ready, just call me up. Like, come on over." And so when I hit that point, I moved over to his agency. Literally, I called him. My HR lady met me at Blue Mesa and gave me my offer and was like, "Hey, like, let's start it up." And so I ended up going to manage J. Crew's paid search programs.
Nice.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Really great for me, bad for my wallet type of thing.
Heard that. That's what I was going to say. J. Crew's expensive.
I knew when all the sales were. It was great. and my girlfriends loved it too. But so I did that, and it was J. Crew International as well, Madewell, and then their factory stores, as well as a couple other brands. And from there, I went from search to going into display as well, which is, you know, advertisements that you see when you're reading an article, they're on the top of the screen or kind of in the boxes on the side.
Okay.
Those are called display ads and it's all targeted based on your income or your age level or demographic or all these things.
Right.
Really fun.
There's so many things that go into consideration as to what you see all the time.
And just trying to reach people with the right ad at the right time, wherever they are. Right. And then I tacked on social as well. So like Facebook was becoming much bigger than from an advertising perspective.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out this new platform and what creatives are going to work and how you're going to talk to people was really fascinating to me. And I was there for like 2.5 years before the work-life balance wasn't really what I wanted. And I kind of hit a wall where I wasn't going to grow as much. And I just had different aspirations. And I'd been in Fort Worth for quite a few years. And I was ready for change.
Yeah.
And so I was like, where could I go? And I was thinking Dallas is like close, but not, you know, still good for my agency, like my industry, and close to my parents and friends. California is great from like Silicon Valley for learning and being digital. And then Australia was my third option because my mom's from Australia. So I was like, I could go there too. I got family over there.
You're like, I got options. Yeah. I got all these options.
Yeah. And so I kind of had like three different options and I kind of settled on, all right, California, this is where I'm going to go. I'm going to start in January, going to like pave the way, kind of figure out where I want to go, get a job. And by July, when my lease was up, I was going to move. And then about a month into that plan, I met my husband.
Of course.
And, you know, I was like, boys, I'm not going to meet anyone else in Fort Worth. I'm done. You know, whatever.
Always
and then,
getting in the way.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of gave him my Goldilocks options. And I was like, I was going to go to California, but I could go to Dallas too. And he's like, yeah, I won't go to California with you, but I'll move to Dallas. So we ended up moving to Dallas. And I, again, moved agencies. My first boss from my original agency was over there at this place, and I called him up and I was like, "Hey, do you have anything?" He's like, "Yeah, come on over." And it was
sweet.
It was great. But it was a bit of a different experiment because that company, unlike a lot of marketing agencies, which hire a lot of new talent out of colleges, my last two, TCU is a feeder school for them. So they just get a whole bunch of people in and, you know, they build up. But
and inexpensive.
Yes. Yeah. But this agency, everyone was like a VP at a marketing company
before. Seasoned.
Or they had been CMOs or all these things. So I was like the youngest one there by 5 or 10 years.
Which is so cool because you're not the smartest person in the room.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Tons of learning opportunity. Everyone there was so smart. But for me in my career development, they didn't have any processes. Like, they didn't have career reviews. They didn't have feedback or anything.
You're like, guys.
Yeah.
We got to have some structure.
Exactly. And everyone is kind of like solo operators. Yeah. And so for me and where I wanted to go, because I'm like very grow my career. Mm-hmm. I want to challenge. Like, I don't want to be complacent. Until I'm ready to be complacent.
Right.
I kind of had to pave that way. And like, I made a career, you know, structure with my boss and told him like, I need every year we have to have a performance review. I need feedback as much as possible.
She's like, putting the process in place.
I
like, don't worry guys, I got this.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, hey, I'm the perfect person to help you do this. And I was there for 4.5 years and every year, I mean, they didn't really give out raises. That wasn't a thing, but I got a substantial raise every single year. And I have every single year of my career gotten a substantial, you know, boost because I've been driven in that way. And
right. You
know,
did you ask for them or did it just happen?
Yeah, okay. I asked for it. And
hell
think,
yeah. That's honestly, what we, that's what we talked about.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
That's what we talked about at the event. Mm-hmm. You were like, I want to talk about women and how we don't ask for raises.
I would love to get into that dialogue for sure. Cause yes. I'm the same. Mm-hmm. Every increase in compensation I've ever received, it's because I went in and asked for it.
Yeah.
And I think women especially will sit back and wait for someone to notice how wonderful they are and all the things they're doing. Happen. And how they can multitask and take on so many things, and everyone's going to recognize this. They're going to come to me at my year review, and they're going to say, "Where have you been all my life? Uh-huh. How do I keep you from leaving? Here's an amazing raise."
No,
that is not what happens. They don't even know all the things you do until you leave. I mean,
you might literally get a bonus at the end of the year, or you might get like a small raise to compensate for the cost of living. But like, unless you champion yourself, no one's going to champion that for you.
That's right.
You might have an amazing boss, but you got to bring him the tools
in order
to boost you up, right? And so every year for me, I came in with data, right? Because I'm in marketing. I'm a data person. Like, I look at data to make every decision to, you know, wherever I go from a marketing perspective or from my life, right?
Right.
So I would look at Glassdoor and all of the relevant job titles or whatever looked like something that I was doing. And I'd be like, hey, on Glassdoor or all these different sources that I'm looking, like, this is how much this position makes, right? Mm-hmm. But I am an all-star and I've grown from here to here. Like, I know that I started managing $15 million like a year ago. Now I'm at 25 for all my clients. And I'm also bringing this value here, here, and here. Like, I should be compensated for that.
That's
if not
right.
getting the average, getting above, you know, slightly, because you guys know, like, I bring a lot of value to this business.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 30.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that. And there's another strategy too, because I think a lot of people will go in and just say, you know, the market is paying X, therefore I should be paid X. Mm-hmm. That is true. However, I think another good strategy is to go in and say, what is it going to take? This is what I want. This is what the market is paying. This is what I know is fair.
Yep.
I understand if you're not prepared to go there today, well, what's it going to take and what is the time frame?
Oh, exactly.
And then so outline that so that you have something tangible to speak to and a date affiliated with it, like 60 days, 90 days, 6 months, whatever it is. I wouldn't go over 6 months, but give some kind of something so you can say, look, you may not want to, may not feel comfortable doing that today. Tell me what that's going to look like.
Exactly.
And then you've got something to hit and strike for.
And that's why it's so important for you to have that kind of conversation on a scheduled basis with your management, right?
Yes.
And making sure that you know what the expectations are when you're hitting those deadlines. And that's the thing. If you go to them and you say, this is what I expect because of X, Y, and Z. And they're like, we just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, okay, do I evaluate, am I comfortable staying here at that level?
That's
or
right.
Do I know my worth and do I know where I want to go and want to continue to build myself and move, right? Because if they can't give you what you want and they're never going to be able to give you that, then that's
it's
the time
for you to move on.
You
that's
cut
right.
bait. Yeah. I mean, you have to not be complacent. And it's scary moving and like trying to figure out the next steps in your career and making the jump, especially when you're comfortable. But, you know, you got to do it in order to make those big moves. You got to take some
Well, being
risks.
Comfortable is not good. When you get comfortable, that's a scary place to be.
It is.
Well, I think
it depends on your time of life, right? Like, so at my last job, there 4.5 years, loved it. I had those reviews, like I was moving up and then I kind of hit that ceiling, right? Like I hit that place where I know unless someone leaves, which it wasn't going to happen, like I just didn't have any further momentum. And if I had a couple kids and I just wanted that 9 to 5, like that would have been a great place for me to be because mentally it was challenging, but you know, I had a lot of stability,
right?
But I wasn't there yet, you know? And so that's when I knew, like, hey, it's time to look. And I took probably 6 to 9 months to look for my next thing before I found it, because I wanted something that would be growth sustainable, right? And, like,
right.
I had a lot of ability to move up. And that's when Amin, my current boss and CDO of our company, reached out to me on LinkedIn. And I had been talking to a couple of companies for, like, months, and nothing was really the perfect fit.
Right.
And he contacted me Tuesday. We had an hour-long conversation on Wednesday. He gave me my offer Thursday. My 2 weeks was in Friday. Like, I started within, like, 2 weeks from that. I mean, it was quick and to the point, but it was just one of those opportunities that I couldn't give up.
Because,
so Advantix, it's smaller, about 25 people. Mm-hmm. And I really had a seat at the table. So as VP of Performance Marketing, I manage a team of young and talented people, and I get to help hone their careers. So not only do I get to do really interesting marketing things and make those types of decisions for my clients, but I also get to shape where my team is going and our direction and how to grow them.
And you get to implement the process of the development plans and all of that
kind
of thing.
Exactly. And yeah, so we have every 6 months, we have performance reviews. That was one of the things that I first started. So I started there in February.
Yeah.
And by June we had that for everyone on my team. Cause you got to set their expectations. Like, if they want to just continue in their current role and that's what they want to do and they want to plug and chug and do good work, I'm great with that. But if they also want to learn and take on new things and expand to different platforms and, you know, try out new things, we got to give them the tools and opportunities to do that. Because, you know, a lot of the agencies I've been at before, it's kind of a burn and churn. You're there, you're just putting in tons of hours, but a year or two in, you're unhappy because your work-life balance is off or you're not getting those opportunities and you leave. And it's much easier for us to retain talent and, you know, propel people forward and put a little bit more investment in that than to burn and churn and constantly hire.
That's expensive.
You are very articulate.
I know.
For your age. Yeah.
I think you're just articulate in general, even just regardless of your age. And, like, the foresight is insane at, like, you know, at this level, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you are still technically early in your career. I mean, you're like, you know, you're getting there.
You're but still you're not, an up and comer.
Yeah, exactly.
You've already got a VP.
But, and you're like, I mean, just so, like, already, like, career wise.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a lot of people about this. Like, every stage of my career, no matter when I started or whatever, I was always trying to talk to the people I worked with about their careers and what they were doing, because I just feel like there's not a lot of people who do that. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of transparency. And so you never know, like, am I making similar to this person who's doing the same thing as me or maybe less? Or, like, where am I on the scale? Am I doing good? Like, I think I'm doing good, but what about everyone else? Like, what are they doing? And so unless you're talking to people and really trying to understand where other people are, you're never going to get a good gauge for, like, if you are being a little too cocky and, like, saying, oh, I'm the best, but really
You got
some room for opportunity.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you are doing really good, and that's the time where you have to say, hey, guys, like, I'm staking my claim. I need to move forward. Like, are you recognizing this in me, and are you going to help me get there?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, without talking about it, you're never going to know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So many lessons learned?
Oh, no. I want to propel my friends forward and my like, people that I'm with, right? I've been very fortunate to have amazing managers.
Yeah.
I mean, the people I've worked with, from Amin to my past managers, they've all just been very open to my growth and kind of let me have the autonomy to pave my own way, which a lot of people don't get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to take the lessons I've learned and give them to my friends or people I work with so that they can do the same thing, because, you know, what propels me forward can hopefully help propel them forward as well.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, really sharing exciting. Is caring, right?
Where is your brain right
now?
Oh,
man.
There's so many
places. Shapiro's like, when she's not talking, there's something going on.
Yeah, no, I can see the wheels turning.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things. But yeah, okay, so outside of that, like, that's... Like, we're going to continue this conversation off air. But so outside of that, too, I want you to kind of explain what it is that you do and what it is, like, where you feel like that's going in the future, too. Like, as far as digital marketing and, like, you know, how you kind of came to that conclusion that, you know, obviously the internet is going to be the future and that's going to be, like, what takes us into this next stage of whatever that is. Because, you know, what's after the internet? I don't know. You know, maybe, like, implanted chips or something, and I'm getting advertisements on my hands, and that's where my cell
future,
phone is,
but,
or whatever.
You know,
but you
mean,
know what
we'll
I
see.
Mean? Like, how you, you know, as you can tell the difference, and you are able to differentiate. Mm-hmm. Like, I should probably go with the internet versus going with print and television, and then from there, like, kind of what it really means and what all the what everybody takes into consideration when it comes to advertising and marketing, like, you know, your age, like you said, your age, your demographic, your income level and all that, and like how those companies are able to analyze that data to properly advertise.
So how many hours do we have? No, but
let's go.
So let's start like with traditional, right? So traditional advertising is like print, radio,
newspaper,
TV,
magazines,
newspaper, billboards, all of those types of things. Yeah. And
how we've like become desensitized to that stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, on average you're seeing like 8,000 impressions a day. So an impression is every time you see an ad. Okay. So there's so much clutter. You're seeing 8,000 ads a day. And you're only probably going to be receptive to a few, right?
Because do you think that, or do companies do like psychological testing around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially that's what I want to talk about. I mean, they're it's fascinating, but you have to basically break through the clutter because there are so many advertisers that there are companies
we're being inundated with advertisements
trying to get to the
all
people.
The time.
So you really have to serve the person with the right ad at the right time with the right message for them to be receptive. And you have to do it frequently too.
Yes.
So there's two things that people talk about a lot when it comes to advertising, and it's reach and frequency. How many people can you reach, and how many times are you going to reach them, right? But you don't want to just reach everyone, and that's kind of one of the things about old ways that we brought TV to the table. Is like you bought an ad on TV,
right?
And there's probably a ton of
it's
different
like
types
mass
of people.
Marketing versus
even
like
spray and pray, right?
Even like during the Super Bowl,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Super Bowl is one thing, just because you have so many people watching it, and a lot of people do watch specifically for the commercials.
For
you can
sure.
break through a bit more, but if you're just watching, you know, a random show, like chances are it's going to be a ton of different people. So all types of people that may or may not be in your product set.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, people go to the bathroom. People, you know, are walking around in their house. They may or may not even be sitting in front
of
the TV.
Well, and with traditional TV like it used
it's
to
going
be
away,
I mean people don't watch, they fast forward through the commercials,
so over time,
or Hulu, and don't get commercials.
And so over time, like, that has become a very different way of looking at data, and you don't get as much data, right? You say I got this many TRPs, or basically, you know, commercials in front of people and in front of households. And you don't know what happened next. They might have looked on their phone and Googled, or they might have, you know, gone to the store later. But you can't track any of that.
No.
And so over time, tracking has become a little bit more nuanced there, and you can see a little bit more data. But digital, you can track the
everything.
You can track the cost of the click. You can track how many people clicked and then went to your website and then bought a product. You can track, like, if they opened the app, it like downloaded the app, opened the app, then they subscribed to something within the app, and then they did XYZ, what kind of things
they purchased. And podcasts, like people that use promo codes or whatever, then you can literally track how many people are buying from said advertisement.
Exactly. And so advertisers now have so much data.
Look, this stupid strap that I'm wearing right now. Joe Rogan advertised it on his podcast.
Oh, really?
I used the promo code Joe Rogan when I bought it.
What is it?
It was half the price.
But what is it?
It's kind of like a Fitbit, but it's called a Whoop Strap.
Whoop strap.
And you were telling me that you bought that sweatshirt you're wearing
on Facebook.
On Facebook. And that was probably a carousel ad where you swipe through the, you know, photos, different things, and you click, and then you go and purchase. And so now we have the data to do that, right? We can see everything, but also you have so much targeting out there. It's it's kind of scary.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'd rather get a relevant ad to me than an irrelevant ad, right?
That's the thing. Everyone's so creeped out by it. I'm like, I think it's freaking convenient. It is creepy, but at the same time,
it is creepy, and then you have the same question.
It's like, I definitely wanted to buy that pair of shoes, and then I got remorseful, so I didn't. But then now you're offering me 20% off in this ad. I probably will go
buy them. I left them in my cart, and then I got a coupon. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Exactly.
I'm going to buy them.
Exactly.
But that's the thing, too, is like, so, and then, you know, not to get too far ahead, but so many people think that, you know, this all of this information is free because they're tracking it, right? So they're like, shouldn't I be paid for my data? Like, your companies are technically making money off of me, so why should I not be making money off of
service for free. Right. Like, how many hours are you spending on Facebook, right? How many, if you go to a movie, you're spending $15 for an hour and a half,
right?
And so, but in Facebook, you can spend an hour and a half on that and it's free,
right?
You're paying for ads. The ads that you're getting are paying for you to be able to use those services.
Yeah.
And so in order for those places to make profit, they have to do something.
Same
right?
with Instagram, same with Twitter, same with Snapchat, same with TikTok.
Oh, all of it, right? And so all of those ads are paying for that service. So yeah, it kind of can be annoying, but at the same time, you're getting that service for free. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. And yes, again, some of the targeting that we can do is kind of crazy from a...
And creepy.
Yeah, and creepy. Totally. Getting down to the household level, like, I can target people within a certain zip code who make $100,000 a year or more who are interested in auto and, you know, probably just had a baby within the last 6 months with an ad on their connected TV. And then I can also serve them a similar ad on their mobile phone right after that to try and, again, get that frequency of ads and tell a holistic story across all
And then
all
it pops
devices.
Up everywhere. And yeah. that's and we trip out, right? Because yeah. we're like, oh, my gosh.
They're listening to
just,
us.
Yes. Yeah. I was just. And then that kind of goes mm-hmm. to, like, the voice search thing with, like, yeah. an Alexa in your house and your phone microphone's
Everything
always on.
Everything is listening. And it's kind of creepy. Right, and they say that they're not doing anything with that data.
Yes, they are.
Obviously, they are.
Mm. Well, so
well, it's funny because Unilever, the company that owns like Tide and Gain and mm-hmm. all of those laundry detergent companies in not Portugal, in Brazil. I think it was in Brazil. They started bugging their laundry detergent so that they could hear what customers were saying about the laundry detergent in their homes. So like,
what?
And they did not tell anyone about this because it wasn't technically illegal. Oh. So it's essentially like the same yeah. thing. It's like an Alexa. Like if it's always listening, because you know, if you even whisper mm-hmm. Alexa, like it'll hear you. So it's like, it's not technically illegal for them to bug the laundry detergent because they used it under the guise of, we want to hear what people are saying about the laundry detergent as they're doing laundry. And I'm like, who the flip talks about yeah. laundry detergent when they're yeah, doing
so,
laundry.
So there's like white hat and black hat marketing.
Yes.
Right? And white hat is using the standard protocols, right? Like doing things the right way.
Right.
And then black hat is going and doing kind of the hacky things yes. that are a little suspect.
We talked about white hat, black hat when that mm-hmm. CIO came on the podcast
too.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah, right. yeah. yeah.
And hacking.
So
yeah.
We white hat across the board.
Sure.
But at the same time, like sometimes you can do some cool things like that, you know, are a little like close, but we would never, I mean,
never.
That is just like
compromising. Yeah.
No. I mean, sometimes you have to find creative solutions for things, but like if it crosses the line, then that's because it's going to have repercussions. Like, for example, there's one of our clients that has a competitor that basically owns like 3 different websites, and all of those websites have a different brand name and they all do the same thing, but they look like different companies, but they're all one company.
Yeah.
And so in Google, when they're paying for search ads, all 3 of them are bidding against the same terms at the same time. So they are creating a ton of competition for those terms and making them very expensive, but they're the ones reaping the benefits in this one company. And
right.
so that's technically illegal for Google to be able to, like, for you to do that because
yeah.
it's, you know, dominating the market and you're only supposed to have, like, one company competing on those terms at one time through each Google account to make it fair, right?
Right.
And so you've got these people and we know that they're doing it, but we can't really prove it or, like, flag them, but it's
right.
just, you know, for our recommendation, it's you got to stay the course and be, you know, white hat, because at the end of the day, they'll probably get found out. And then if Google shuts them down, you get shut down by Google. I mean, granted, you could probably create a new website and, you know, go
yeah,
through that,
but,
you know, but like, it's never going to be good for
it's
your
not,
business.
It's not a small deal.
It's much better to, you know, stay the course and do the right thing for a longer time.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, those people will get caught and taken down.
It's
but,
like karma, man.
Oh, yeah.
You put it out in the universe, it's going to come
exactly.
back and get you.
It will. It
yeah.
will. And that happens through everything in life and marketing.
I agree.
So, but yeah. But, I mean, from where the industry is going, you know, it's connected TV and it's called CTV, which
mm-hmm.
is connected TV, and then OTT, which is over-the-top boxes. So that's anything from like a Hulu to any app that you have on your TV to
okay.
the actual TV itself, as if it's a smart TV to,
yeah.
you know, the Chromecast or plugins that you can do to make your TV a smart TV if it's not already one. I mean, that is where everything's going from a TV perspective. I mean,
so how do they... All right. So let's say, you know, I have an Apple TV. We'll
mm-hmm.
use me. You have that too, right?
I mean,
we have a Roku.
Yeah, we use Roku.
Okay. So you guys are cord cutters then?
Well, it's like it's in the
yeah.
TV.
Yeah.
Roku's just in the TV.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's easy.
Like we don't even plug it in anymore. It's
well,
like,
there are Roku boxes that you can buy.
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
a lot of TVs also have Roku
yeah.
installed in them.
I actually
yeah.
just cut the cord like last month
and we
for
did
cable.
Two years ago.
What do you
yeah.
think so far?
Oh, I never watched it anyway.
Yeah.
I just flipping paid
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
Game
is
changer.
So annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, so we have that, right? But like when I go to watch a show, there's no advertisements. There's no commercials. So what are they tracking?
So, well, they're tracking your viewership. So there's a couple different ways that they can do it. One, it's if you are watching like an Amazon, so they take all their data in-house and they're not going to share it with...
Amazon does.
Yeah.
So, AWS, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Amazon... You either have to be an Amazon like partner or run ads through Amazon to get to that data. So they're not going to show you an ad within your actual TV experience, but you will see throughout...
When you go to Amazon.
Yeah, when you go to Amazon or if you're off Amazon platforms, they work with a whole bunch of websites where they can run their ads through or on Facebook or Instagram, all those as well. So if you've ever...
like, and they're determining this by what you watch?
They can do it by what you watch and also all the data that they have on what you purchase. No. Because Amazon, yeah, Amazon connects all of your purchase data to all the things that you're watching.
Oh my gosh.
All of their experiences.
That's why they want you on their platform for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon Music, Amazon TV, shopping on Amazon.
All the other apps.
Kindle, you're reading.
Even HBO Now and all of the Audible, other channels that you used to have a separate app for, mm-hmm. now is straight through Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's all there.
Yeah, it's all connected. And so
Hallmark,
they watch and they track all of the things that you're doing in order to give you the right experiences, not only from what shows they suggest for you, but also what products are coming up Amazon.
They got it down because they give me all the right experiences.
It's crazy.
Well, so and like for someone like I'm like, "Oh, that looks great." Yeah.
Yes, but yeah. For someone like you, like you read a lot of, you know, like self-help and motivational books and stuff like that. So what are they going to recommend for you? Like, you know what I mean? Like it's all mm-hmm. full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. And then of course, if you're an advertiser working with Amazon, you can use that data for people who are likely to read those types of books or people who are likely to watch Suits or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Find them and also serve them ads. So it's really fascinating. All the things that yeah. And then, you know, Facebook, who owns WhatsApp and Instagram
yes.
and all these host apps, Messenger, everything like that. They have their own slew of data too, right? And they're also doing Marketplace and all of these types of things. There's like a Facebook dating app now. You know, all yes. these data sources that
it's
they have.
Terrible.
A Facebook
for
all dating app now?
Yes, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I signed up for like 5 minutes. It's awful.
Be older people, right? Because it's Facebook.
No, it's not even that it's older people. It's just too, like the filters are not extensive enough.
Oh,
so like you just get like a flood of, yeah, people that wouldn't necessarily be qualified for you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's not as good. But remember,
it wouldn't be people that you would be interested in. I shouldn't say not qualified for you. That sounds rude.
I mean, if you're not interested in them, they're not qualified.
Just exactly. trying not to sound like a jerk.
Exactly. You have to put targeting on the people that you want, right?
Exactly. Yes. Well, it's like Hinge has it down, which like Match.com owns all those apps now, right? Mm-hmm. They own like Tinder and Hinge and Bumble. Mm-hmm. And not Bumble, but they own Tinder and Hinge.
Yeah.
And probably Plenty of Fish and whatever else. Mm-hmm. Which is so weird because Match's platform is terrible compared to the other ones. Anyway, they have money, so they bought it.
But that's what they do. They speak to a whole bunch of different people that like different things, right? Like, if you like the traditional Match experience and you're within that demographic, it's going to be way different than if you're on Tinder.
Yeah.
Right? And
yes.
you're a Tinder type mm-hmm. of person because
or Hinge
you're paying
whatever.
A little bit more. It's a different experience. And
yeah.
so by them owning all of those different spaces, not only can they see all the data and all the people that are, you know, working within that, but they can also talk to different audiences of people who want different experiences for their dating and
right.
what they prefer from a profile and all the things like price point, everything like
right.
that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fascinating. Nice. I mean, it's the same thing with Google and Facebook. They're both buying up a whole bunch of companies. So Facebook is buying a lot of smaller social networks that are coming out.
Yes.
And they're either incorporating them.
Dude,
into their
what if they buy Surfboard?
I just first thing that popped in my head was like Surfboard.
That's
oh my.
Herbod, what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
He that's like his third startup now, but he is the CEO of Surfboard.
Okay.
It's which
really
is essentially
cool.
like a, an
awesome.
App that combats FOMO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like you go on and you can see all the fun parties that are
all the things
in a
that are
general
going on.
Location.
Nice.
So if you're like, oh my gosh, I want to go join that party.
Yeah.
You like can find out where they are and
go. Just go there.
That's kind of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's super cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could totally see Facebook buying that up and putting it in
yes.
their events,
yes.
right? Like
yes.
things that are happening in
he, and
area.
He was just featured on Forbes 30 Under 30.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Isn't
cool
that amazing?
Guy, yeah. I'm
yeah.
so happy for him.
I'm
Me too.
I'm going to go look that up after this.
Definitely. I'll send you his LinkedIn.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many different things that they're doing to really expand their reach. And so from an advertising perspective, you know, whether you're big and small, it's all about finding where your customers are
yes.
and trying to serve them ads that, you know, break through that clutter and trying to get in front of them as much as possible.
The most impactful ads.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so understanding like each platform, you know, where the customer is and what kind of persona they are and like who is on each platform, you know, and that's where you put your ads and determine where you run them based on like what customers are going to be there
mm-hmm. yeah.
so you can speak to the people that matter. And I mean, it really ranges from a budget perspective on where you go in that because there's so many different things. I remember, you know, at one of my agencies, we had a media plan that had like 40 different partners on it, but they had the budgets to test thousands of dollars, like $30,000, $40,000 each partner every single month, you know, between the ranges. But a lot of people don't have that kind of budget in
right.
there. And, you know, so you kind of have to start small and
yeah.
figure out what is working and
right.
expand out from there because at the end of the day, it's about driving, you know, conversions or people to your site.
Yeah.
And in order to do so in an efficient way, you got to figure out, you know, the most bottom of the funnel conversion driving platforms first, and then expand outwards from there from a reach perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, let's. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay.
Just enjoying
so let's say I was a company, an up and coming company, and I came to Advantix. Like, you know, what are some requirements or what are some like standards that you guys try to meet or whatever, you know, for a prospect?
Yeah. So I mean, first we got to figure out what are your goals, right?
Yeah.
And who is your core customer? So. Yeah. Let's say for the sake of example, like you are a shoe company,
sure.
right? So you create running shoes and you're trying to reach runners within a certain radius around your locations, mm-hmm. right? So you have a couple different brick and mortar stores and maybe you do e-com too. So you got to figure out, okay, who are the core customers? So you've got runners, probably a range of areas that you can go from a age bracket or household income, because running, you know, it's a good sport. You just need sneakers and some good running clothes and then you can get out there. So from a targeting perspective, it's pretty broad, but at the same time, you can do some neat things about understanding, like maybe there's some 5Ks or marathons or whatever that are around your locations that you can sponsor or get into. Also, you got to make sure from a Google perspective, you're searchable. So creating a Google My Business for your store is one of the things you need to do to make sure people can find you.
What's Google My Business?
So Google My Business is in your search
results.
Writing
this down.
Yeah. So you guys should definitely do that for yourselves. That was one of the things that I had to bring up to you later when we talk about
things
that you guys are doing. But sure. So on Google, you can make sure that your phone number, your location, your photos, your website, everything is correct. So you can basically claim your store or your business on Google and say, I'm a verified business, and make sure that all of your aspects of your business are correct in Google. Because if someone's trying to find you and they Google you,
and your information's wrong,
you got the wrong address,
you're losing out on
sales.
That's
a really bad customer experience,
right?
So that and making sure your location and your listings are correct across, you know, the various places that you are. So if you have a Facebook page, name, address, everything's correct. You know? So that's kind of the basics where you start. And also
so
like on
synergy
the website.
Between all. Okay.
Yeah. And then like making sure your SEO, so your search engine optimization on your website, you have keywords on your website that talk about the things that you do to make sure that your ranking. So if someone searches for you and you're not
keywords
ads,
on my website, meaning someone goes to Google and they Google women empowerment, my website could potentially come up because I have women empowerment in my ads,
in your website. So in your content, your website, if you're talking about, so for you guys, like women empowerment podcasts, like best women empowerment podcasts, like keywords that people would search for to find you guys in your content itself.
Yeah.
So making sure that there are keywords and you don't want to stuff it. Keyword stuffing is a term and it's where you put way too many of those keywords in.
Yeah.
Google will not be happy about that and they'll kind of ding you in a negative way. But if you make sure that your content speaks to the things that you're doing, you'll start to rank better from an organic perspective in SEO. And there's a lot of other things that go into that, but making sure that your website is optimized for search is one of those things that you can do relatively inexpensively without putting a lot of, you don't have to pay for that, right?
Yeah.
Unless you go to an SEO service to make sure that you're keeping up with best practices and you're ranking well when people are searching for me from that spot. So
interesting.
Yeah. And so once you have kind of the website down and all the things that you can do from a profile perspective for free and making sure that people can find you when they're searching, then it goes into the paid media aspect. So, you know, what are you doing? Are you running search ads in Google and or Bing? And are those ads, one, being there for people searching for your actual brand name? And are they also there for when people are searching for things that are similar to what you do?
Right,
so,
related.
Yeah, so that's called non-brand. So, like, running shoes, right?
Back
to that example, or women empowerment podcasts, like that would be perfect for you guys.
Yeah.
And making sure that your ads are popping up at the top. And so there's a lot of things you can do to optimize to make sure that you're getting the right terms in front of the right people, and then also not wasting money on really expensive terms that might not drive the right people or might be irrelevant. And so making sure that your paid search strategy is buttoned up and they're using the best practices.
Optimized. So how, like, what are some mistakes that you see some business owners making before they maybe come to you or before they hire someone and they're trying to do it on their own?
Yeah. So a lot of it is, I think one of the biggest stigmas is, I don't do that, so my customers won't do that. And that's never
that's
something.
That's not how that works.
Exactly. And so a lot of times, like, one of the biggest things that you can do from a marketing perspective is take yourself out of it, right? Yeah. Or say, okay, I have these experiences. You can learn from the things that you see. Right?
Yeah.
But you also can't say, just because I'm not doing it doesn't mean my customer's doing it. That's the opportunity to say, just because I'm not doing it, should I look into that and expand if my customer's there? Mm-hmm. Like, we had a customer come in and say, I don't want to pay for search on Bing, right? And well, we said, let's see what the data tells us, because Bing is another big search engine. Usually it's a little bit older from a customer perspective, or people who are using Bing.
I didn't even know that was still a thing.
Still a thing. And Yahoo.
I love it because she said it so many times and I'm like, okay, it's obviously still relevant.
It's
saying it that many
Yahoo
times.
Yahoo and Bing, they merge, so they're like all the data comes to both. But
so anyone who still hosts their email on Yahoo.
Yep. Yeah.
More likely to use Bing.
They probably have that as their default in their browser. But, you know, he came to us and was like, that's not where our demographic is.
And you're like, how do you know?
I said, well, let's look at the data. Yeah. So I pulled all the numbers.
You're like,
and I said,
I use data for everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 50% of your conversions are coming through Bing. Not only that, but they're half the cost of Google. And your CPCs are, because your competitors probably aren't bidding there as aggressively. And not only that, but like, here's five other data points that say Bing is a good place for you to be until we decide otherwise, right? And then I said, like, look at, so we're driving a whole bunch for that client, we're driving them a whole bunch of phone calls and leads. So I said, let's, all the leads that we've driven through Bing, look them up in your Salesforce or, you know,
whatever,
your CRM,
and
tell me, are they actually converting? So once they call you, are they qualified leads? Like, we can drive as many leads to your business all day,
and if
but
it doesn't, if it's not your targeted audience or your targeted client, it's not going to matter.
And they came back and they said, oh yeah, these are great. And
you're
so
like, oh, really?
We're like, all right,
and you wanted to cancel.
Exactly. And so it's just because you're not doing it or you don't think, like, you got to look at the data. And that goes back to that database approach.
Right. Analytics.
Like, all of your, you should be A/B testing everything. Like, if you have an ad out there, put three or four other ads into rotation and
see what
wins. And then take the winner, iterate upon it, pause out the other ones, and then continue to do so, right? Testing and learning based on what the data tells you.
Yeah.
Because the data is what the customers are actually doing.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with your feelings or your emotions about what's working and what's not. Like,
I mean, I might have a
numbers don't lie.
Yeah, yeah. I might have a thing about Bing. I'll never use Bing. But if someone does,
oh my God, Bing is for like old people. I'm never going to use that.
Like, I didn't even think it was still there.
Hey, yeah. Hey,
I love the lingo in your industry. Like, whatever you just said, like, pause out, like, use this and then pause out the others. I'm like, pause out. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, you just pause it.
I'm stealing that. I'm not sure in what context, but I'm going to use that.
I'm very excited to see how you use it. Yeah. You just like text me after this, but like, by the way, I use pause out today. I'm very excited.
She's like, she's like listening to a podcast like three episodes from now, and she's like, oh my God, she totally said it. Yeah. So, I mean, okay. So, and from there, obviously, like, this, it's so much information. I want to take it in, and
so
I want
much.
Everybody to take it in too. Everyone who's listening, because a lot of people who do listen, you know, maybe they have a small business or they work for a firm. Maybe they work in the marketing department and they want to do better for their current organization because they want to propel them towards the future.
Can we continue on with the common mistakes though? That's a good step.
Yeah.
So I got the ignoring Bing, like that's a huge one.
Yeah.
I want to hear some more common mistakes that people make just by assuming or not assuming.
I think, and so some of that is also not looking at who your customers are.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So understanding the core customers and using data to do that too. So there's different softwares that you can use out there to tell you who's coming to your website, what they look like, what their interests
are. It's kind of like on Instagram, you can see your metrics or who's following you or what the demographic is. And I think we have that on Buzzsprout too.
So what are some software? Yeah, we do. It's really cool.
Which I want you to look at after we're done recording.
Yeah, I love it. You can go in there and see, like, you know, if it's coming from a Mac or PC or a phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if it's coming from iTunes or which platform, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And so let's take Facebook, for example, because Facebook is kind of outside of Google and the search engines. Like, the next step is really social. Depending on your business, I will caveat that, but a lot of the times you go into Facebook. And so being able to do promoted ads, making sure your targeting is correct, right? And in Facebook, depending on how savvy you are, there's Ads Manager, and that's where you can run all of your ads and do a lot of the target. So if you're not just like boosting your posts with money behind it, you can create
which
an ads manager.
Which we've done a few times.
Yeah. And that's something you should definitely be doing. Because So one of the things that I always... It makes me laugh is when people say, I want to do like campaigns or get like lots of likes, and on Facebook specifically. And that a couple years ago used to be the thing. Because a couple years ago, when you shared a post, you got a ton of what we call organic
growth.
Yeah. So you reached a lot of people by doing that. But now we see that Facebook's gotten smarter, and they're like, I want people to pay for that. You need to pay for the ability to reach it. Yeah. So on average, we see about 2%. Like per post of your users reached. Yeah. Right? So if you have like,
well, and that's like why Gary
Somebody just told us this.
Well, that's why Gary Vee talks about LinkedIn so much. Cause he's like, the organic growth potential on LinkedIn is insane.
Yep.
Like the amount that they're not throttling that or cutting that down.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And so like on Facebook, we have clients that want to run like campaigns because they're like, I want to grow my followers and then I'll have some authority and then I can reach a whole bunch of people. And you're like, no,
makes so much sense, man. Cause anytime we post on the Big Girl Pants page, we get nothing.
Yep. And they want you to put money behind it. And you should, right? Because well, that's the way to get it out there. Well, we did
one time, and I narrowed it down to my target demographic, which, of course, would be women of a certain age at that time. I think it was between 20 and 50 or something like that. Yeah, I don't even 25 remember.
And 40 or something.
Something like that. And then it went out to all men.
Oh.
Yeah, I was really pissed.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. Never again.
I was just like, we can look into that afterwards because that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. Agreed.
But yeah, so, you know, on Facebook, there's really cool tools like Audience Insights. So if you do go and create an ads manager, which is where you can run ads in a little more targeted way and manage budgets and everything like that and upload multiple creatives and schedule things. So they can tell you kind of your audience insights. And so people who like your page or who are interacting with your business, like what they look like, what their other things that they like to do, other brands that they shop with, other podcasts that they listen to or TV shows, also their household demographics. So like their age, income, education level, if they have kids, what kind of car they drive, all those types of things. And so really understanding who they are and using that stuff to inform your marketing and your targeting. So if I know that, you know, you guys have a 25 to 54, you know, age limit, and we see that these women also like to shop at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
You know, like let's target people who are going in and out of Whole Foods or, you know, who are shopping at Whole Foods interested in that, and maybe Central Market because it's a similar addition, and try and get a little bit more granular and see how that works.
I'm
right?
Now you're talking about my people. Those are my people.
Oh yeah. Whole Foods and Central Market.
I know.
All the samples. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, there's just really interesting things that you can do, but understanding and looking at the data and being inquisitive about your business and not just assuming.
Yes.
I mean, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
We see, and that's what I try and drive in all my teams, is just going the extra mile and asking another question. Like, okay, I see that all these people are coming to my site and I'm not getting conversions. I'm like, well, why? Like, let's look at the tracking. Is tracking set up correctly? How's the bounce rate? Are people coming and then they're bouncing out? Does that mean that we're not targeting the right people because they're not interested?
Right.
Or maybe something is, you know, just we're not driving them to the right page. Or maybe the tracking on the page is broken. Or, you know, what can we do to just drive more insights? Are they going from page Y to page X or whatever, and then like this is the actual page that we should be just driving them to from the beginning because it's reducing that extra step. And that's another big thing in driving any type of action, is you want to reduce the amount of steps that it takes to get there. So in Facebook, there's this great ad, it's called a Facebook lead ad, where you can get a lead generating form within actual Facebook. So when they click on the unit itself, so you got this beautiful image, and then you say, like, let's back to the running shoes example, buy some running shoes. You click buy running shoes, and then it will give you an auto-populated field of like your name, your email address, and your phone number that you can submit to the company very easily just from one experience. It's already filled in by Facebook, and like,
dang,
give them that, you know, information to sign up for their email newsletter or whatever, get 20% off.
Yeah.
And so it's just, there's not a lot of work there, right?
No.
And if you're a user, I mean, that's just so easy. Like, if I had to type all that stuff
in. It's an obvious advantage.
Yeah, if I had to type all that stuff in, I'd probably leave because I'm busy, right? But
yes.
The less steps that you can put in the process from getting user to do whatever action you want them to do, download your podcast and listen to it, like, the quicker you're going to get more people to do that action.
All the things.
Cool. So before we finish, because we're at like 52 minutes.
Oh boy.
I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit, because obviously Amin's coming on next week, but I want to talk about voice search.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Amin can definitely give you, he wrote the book on it.
Literally wrote the book on it.
Yeah. But I mean, going back to the types of things that you have on your site, and also what you're doing in your paid search. So voice search, it's becoming one of the biggest ways that people search for things, right? So I think by 2022, and Mean will get this stat correct, but yeah, like 50% of all searches are going to be on voice.
Yeah.
And so
that's... Okay, does that mean like Siri, find mm-hmm. me,
dot, yes. dot, dot. Amazon, yes. or, you know, whatever. People are talking to their refrigerators now. I mean, right. wherever that is, it's, you know, hey, Siri, do
Which
this.
Eventually will happen is literally you talk to your
Siri
refrigerator.
Just popped up. No way, Siri.
I'm like, did it on mine? Nope, I'm not cool enough.
Oh.
But it's like, you know, you talk to your refrigerator, then talks back to you, tells mm-hmm. you what's in your refrigerator, then it automatically orders the groceries from Amazon Prime Delivery and they come to your house.
What? I want this.
Mm-hmm. It's not, that's I mean, crazy. I don't know if that's possible yet, but it's definitely coming.
I mean, well, it's coming. It's all, I mean, like they can do grocery shopping lists for you and tell you where in the store to go find all this. It's all going to be integrated.
Yes.
But I think for voice search specifically, you know, the content on your website, you want it. So there's these new things called structured snippets in Google. So when you're searching, and especially on desktop, and you search for like, how do I find the best women's empowerment podcast? Mm-hmm. And then it will come up. There's sometimes a box at the top. It's called a structured snippet. And then it has bullets of like different options for leadership podcasts, right? Yep. And that, so that is a structured snippet that you can put in your, that kind of data and structured data on your website to have those things populate. So that's like a free way to get in front of the Google search results based on the type of content you have on your website, listicles and stuff like that, to really enhance the experience when people are searching on Google and being there when people are searching for that. And so the same thing goes with voice search. If you're having like question and answers on your site about your products, very common questions that people ask, like what are the best women leadership podcasts, you can put that on your site and make sure that that pops up, and then make sure that you have all of that optimize for when people are searching, like those
with their
things
voice.
Are what comes back. And Siri can easily read that and, you know, give it back to you.
I know, it's so innovative. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited.
I know.
A little scared.
It's crazy. But it's going to get much more convenient. I mean, that's where all this is going, is convenience.
You know, I've heard people say too, like, okay, what are we going
to
need to use our brains for? I'm like, listen, when we have all of these little tasks that we no longer have to manage, there's so much more opportunity and so much more we can do.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things about Siri, is I can just say, hey, Siri, remind me tomorrow to do this. And then I don't have to worry about
it.
Like, I already got a reminder.
Dude,
I
need to start doing that.
So, tell us how we can find you if anybody has questions or wants to meet you or wants to hire you or whatever. So,
I mean, don't listen to that.
Well, I mean, hire the company to do what they
do. Oh, gotcha.
Right. So Jessica Dawson on LinkedIn. Also, Jay Dawson, DAWSON at AdvanticsDigital.com, because I do work for Advantix Digital.
Cool.
So yeah, you can find me. I'm always open to talking or, you know, just talking experiences or also business. So please feel free to reach out. But I've loved listening or talking to you guys today and having me.
Oh my gosh.
On
thank you
too.
So,
thank you
so
much
for coming.
Yeah. We've really appreciated it too. And learned a ton. I took so many notes. Actually, if you thought it was on my phone over here, I was, but I was taking notes.
Yeah.
Well, you can always listen back to this podcast later.
Yeah, right. I know.
Reference it.
I do that all the time too.
Me too.
Like, oh my gosh, I've got to take notes. But you know what? When I'm listening to it, I'm in my car usually. So
Story of my life.
This is good stuff. So tell everybody how to find us.
www.biggirlpantspod.com. All of our social media is on there. Feel free to look up our Instagram.
Subscribe to
the podcast.
And
rate,
review the podcast.
And review.
Please review.
We didn't talk about this, but reviews are huge. So
I know, we tell them every time.
Yelp, Google, reviews, do it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Review the podcast because you love us.
Please.
Yes.
Please. All right. Thanks. Well, it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
You so much.
Thank you. All right, everybody. See you later.
Bye.